So the family I work for is Jewish, and which is awesome, because Jesus was a Jew. And I love, there's a line in a movie, see, everything's going to be a movie reference, where he's like, no, that's cool, man, JC was a Jew. It's totally fine. Right? It's Jesus Christ. Yeah, okay. So, and I love the fact that as Christians and modern-day Christians, the world we live in today, I think we really forget that the apostles were all Jewish. Okay? They went to the synagogue. They followed so many of the traditions. And in doing this study, you go in tangents. I don't know if you've ever had to do something for school, and then you're like, well, that could be because I have a case of ADD, too. But you go on these other tangents, and then you find something out, and you're like, oh, that's so cool. How can I make it? Yeah, that doesn't fit. So in preparing for this lesson, that first little nugget I gave you all about, you know, knowing who you are and knowing who's in control and not being afraid. And then I had this, I was like, okay, Lord, you're just going to have to figure this out for me. How I can, you know, like on a radio station, they segue to the next section. But with this family, it's been so cool because I've got to see so many of their life stages, right? I've been to the bar mitzvahs and the bat mitzvahs. I helped them study their Torah portion, which is incredible in and of itself. You have to think about this. Okay. The Apostle Paul, when he was traveling, he wrote a lot of books, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And he traveled all over. I mean, look at the map. If you've never looked at that map, I should have printed it for you. Cray, cray. Like, I don't know how he did it. And they really believe that at his time, he was a tent maker. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I'm not a very good Bible student. But some of the scholars in that believe that because he was a tent maker and the stuff he used to make the tents, they're not noisy tools. They're really not. And there's not a ton of them. It was portable. It gave him money. And he could go from town to town. He could make money. And guess what he could do while he was working? Say it.
Preach.
And you know who I thought of? My dad. Thought of my dad. And I thought, that's so cool. Like, the Lord gave me that little cookie. And I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, and I thought, okay, we complain because, like this morning, I went to go pick up Macy, and I'm like, you're going to your class. And she's like, yeah. And I go, where's your Bible? She's like, I packed it. And I'm like, we're at camp. You're going to class. You need your Bible. Like, and we complain because it's like this, right? It's all condensed. Think about all the scrolls. Raise your hand if you've ever seen a scroll, like, for like full-on Torah Hebrew writing, like the scroll, right? Would you want to take that to school with you?
No.
No. Right. So you think of all the things Paul had and all the things he was referencing. He memorized the Torah. It's the first five books of the Bible. He memorized it. Not only did he memorize that, but at Jesus' time, as a little history lesson for you so I can get you all ready for what I'm going to tell you. At that time, there was what was known as the Mishnah. Say Mishnah. Mishnah. It's oral. It's like, you know, if my kids were to write it, they'd be like, wake up, go to the bathroom, brush your teeth, comb your hair, get dressed, go downstairs. You know, it's like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live? But it was all orally translated. It was a combination of the Mishnah and the, I'm going to remember this word, I'll think of it in 2 seconds, combined. So there were these traditions. I'm trying to give you an example that Jesus did, because he lived like a Jew. So his parents raised him according to the Torah, right? He knew, well, he was God, okay? But in his daily life, he did adhere to some of these things, right? And we know he did. And that's why, I don't know if you were all present for when I gave the Seder thing, right? He knew what was supposed to happen during the Seder. And that's why I love Jesus. Everybody say, rebel. Somebody raise your hand, tell me what a rebel is. Like, what's the first thing you think of when you think of rebel? Sky, who said that?
Your son.
Did you say Skywalker? You, of course you did. Okay, think rebel, rebel. Come on, any kind of an adjective for rebel. Rule breaker.
Defiant.
Defiant. Anti-norm, anti-whatever is the common, whatever. And I love this spot. And go with me on this. Because Jesus, for his time, being a Jew in his time, he was a rebel. And they hated it. They're keeping the law, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. I mean, they were so loved themselves. And I was like, ooh, yeah, like, ooh. But then I kind of checked myself. I'm like, ooh, I'm kind of like that. Like, I like, it feels good when I do good. Feels good when I'm helping people or when I'm, yeah, I'm good. I'm doing good. I loved in school. I was the brown noser. I liked that approval. I like that. And so for Jesus to walk into there and just be like, whoof. I mean, physically, I visually pictured Jesus taking the table and just being like, in the temple, and I love it. You know why? Here's why. Tell me what a Gentile is. Say it loud. Non-Jewish. You're not born Jewish. You are a Gentile. Okay. So when Jesus said you had the Gentiles, and then you had the Jews, and we know, I'm just going to do a really quick click notes. We know that God wanted to marry Israel. God in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it's thought of he came to Israel, came to Mount Sinai, and he gave them what? The law. And I'm just following me here. And that was like his proposal to them. Okay? And they were like, we can't do this. We can't keep this. Right? And then I was back up. Thinking, I don't know. We were adopted. That's the end of the story. I just fast forwarded, but I'm going to go back, don't worry. We were adopted. And if it wasn't for my Jesus and that rebel love, there's a song out now called Reckless Love, and all these people are hating on it. He's not reckless, he knows exactly what he's doing. But I love that thought. No matter what, he had no inhibitions, didn't matter if I was the only one, didn't matter if I kept the law, didn't keep the law, had blonde hair, blue hair, tall, short, didn't matter who my mom was. Didn't matter her debt. Let me tell you something. I nannied for those people for 20 years, and every social circumstance that I went into, would you like to know the first question I was asked? What's your last name? What's your last name? Why? Why'd they ask me that? Because they wanted to know if I was Jewish. My first name's Tamara. It's a very Jewish name. Everybody's named Tamara or David. So, stems from Tamar. But they wanted to know. And they weren't rude about it. I genuinely think they wanted to know if I was a Jew. Fair enough. But I'm not. And in watching their traditions and in their customs, and the very first time, I was invited to a Seder. And they want to include everybody. It's an all-inclusive. Everybody gets to come. There's an openness. And I'll get to that, too. Just remember that I said that. There's an openness about Jewish people. They want you. They want to include you. They don't want to exclude you. Palestine and Israel, we can argue all day. Jews want peace. It's in their heart. It's how they're made. God did that on purpose. And not to get political, but it's God's word. I can't argue with it. He instilled that in his people, and yet he gave them a choice. So here's where I'm going. I'm going to the Seder. And I sit down at the table, and they're going through the motions, okay? And they're, you know, I did it for you guys. I showed you how it kind of goes. And about halfway through, I don't know if this ever happened to you. It might have happened to you during the sermon last night. The Holy Ghost just goes, and you're on fire. I mean, you are physically hot, and you just, you're, sometimes, my legs start shaking. And I have to get out of here. And I went in the bathroom. And it was at the end of the Seder that it happened. And they were singing the song about come, you know, come Elijah, come anointed one, you know, because they really believed their Messiah hadn't come yet. And literally heard an audible voice in my mind go, they didn't want me. That's what I heard. And as a mom, it pricked me, not even as a Christian, as a mom. It spoke to me. And you know, young people, when you see groups of people and you see that person on the outside of the circle and you think nobody wants them, they feel unwanted, how horrible does that feel, right? And I think, my Jesus, my Lord, you came to them, you died for them, and they didn't want you. And it broke me. So I wanted to know more. And I watched. I don't really speak a lot to them. It's my job, right? I'm sure all of you have jobs. Raise your hand if you have a job. You guys have a job, whether you know it or not, at home. Yeah, do chores. Just kidding. And you do your job. And then I thought, okay, Lord, so have your way, Lord. You know, show me. Show me what you want me to know about this. If there's something in this that you want me to see deeper, help me see deeper. Well, wow, did he let me see a little bit deeper. So I want to talk to you about some wedding stuff. I want you to do what I do with my four-year-old class, and you take your hands like this, okay? And you're holding a little thinking cap, and you're just going to put it on your head. Yay, now we can time travel. I'm just kidding. Okay, so we're going to go back in time, back, and way, way back, 3,500 years ago. Back in ancient Israel, okay? And you're 17, 18, young man. Jonathan, get up here. Okay. Jonathan.
I'm the dad now, Jonathan.
I found a wife for you. I think she's pretty cool. And I have to talk to her dad, but I think we're going to work out the price. Okay, do you know Miriam?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've seen her in town? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, cool. So I think, like, tomorrow we're going to go over there, okay? And I'm going to offer her dad, like, I don't know, 300 shekels of silver or something. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah.
I mean, is she worth that?
Yeah, maybe throwing a goat.
Throwing a goat?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Right on. Okay. For real. That's what went down. And who decided who he was going to marry? The father. Okay. Did he have a choice? This is what's so cool to me. Did he really have a choice? Think about it. I mean, he probably could have run away. Or he could have, like, jumped off a cliff or something. But what was most important at that time, 3,500 years ago, what is the most important thing to me and my family? If you don't know, it's okay, because I didn't. So, I heard children. Having children. Why? Why is that so important? To populate the earth, religiously they believe that, but why else? Because my last name is Ireland, right? But I want that to what? Legacy. I want it to continue, right? So I get Jonathan, we go over and we like go over to Miriam's house. Okay, come here. Wait, Jonathan, come here. I need a cup. Ooh, ooh. Hold on. Oh, that's my necklace. Sorry. Okay, you two sit down.
I love being the dad. Okay, hold on.
Okay. So, Mallory, Miriam. Mm-hmm. So we have an offer for you. Here's this contract. Get up here, Jake. Sit down. Okay. So, David, Miriam's dad, we have this contract for you. Can you just hold that? It's fine. Totally fine. Okay. So I need you to read through that. Okay? Okay. And I want you to tell me if that's good, because this is going to tell you everything that, what's your name again? What's your Hebrew name I gave you? This is going to tell you everything that he's going to do for your daughter. Yeah. It includes food, housing, everything. I mean, from the time that, I mean, if something happens to him, it tells you that, okay? If you want your lawyers or the other rabbi to look over it, you just let me know, okay? Let's say, here's all the money, okay? There's 300 pieces of silver, okay, ma'am? All right, okay. Miriam, what'd you say?
What?
The goat is right in your field. Okay. There's more where that came from, so let me know if that doesn't fit. Okay, right on. Okay. Miriam, sorry, I have my back to you guys. I'm sorry. Okay. Miriam, this is a cup of wine. Go ahead and take it. Okay. You can choose not to drink it. It's your choice. But if you drink it, you are now betrothed to my son.
To my son.
Sorry, I lost my man voice. You are now betrothed to my son. It's the same as being married. You can't see anybody else, be with anybody else. Ever. This is it. This is final. This is a blood. This wine signifies the blood. This is a blood signed, sealed, delivered, as you want to put it in the song. This is a done deal. He won't back out, but it's your choice. Do you accept? Say yes.
Yes.
Say yes. Okay, take a drink. Okay, now you have to take a drink. Everybody say Mazel Tov! Okay, go sit down. Shalom. Okay, now, it's not over. Okay. Now I didn't rehearse this at all. Okay, repeat after me. Say, I love you very much.
I love you very much.
I have to go away.
I have to go away.
It might be a year.
It might be a year.
It might be longer.
It might be longer.
And I can't come back.
I can't come back.
Till my dad says it's okay.
Till my dad says it's okay.
And that the house is ready.
The house is ready.
Okay, I'll see you soon.
See you soon.
TTFN. Okay. So he goes all the way back over here. Okay, put your thinking caps on. What is this? Is being annoying. Hold on. Okay. So he comes all the way back over. This is our house. This is the Father's house. Say Father's house.
Father's house.
Okay. So he comes back to the Father's house, okay? And I'm really sorry, but you have a lot of work to do. Okay. You need to build like some magnificent thing, and I'm gonna keep checking on you to make sure it's ready for her. Because she's pretty awesome. She's really cute. Okay, but you're already married, so you can't look at anybody else. You're not going to talk to anybody else. You're just going to be busy working. Okay, right on. And about my business, because I'm a very, very famous man right now in this town. Okay, right on. Keep working. You stay there. Okay. Okay, Miriam. Hi. So you have some jobs. Okay. First of all, where's your oil supply? Because we need a lot of it. Okay. Yeah. Do you have that? Just go with it.
Yeah,
say yes.
It's over there.
Okay. And who do you want to be your handmaidens? You need five.
Okay.
Right there. Okay. Cool. Okay, girls. Okay, this is the deal. Like, she has to be ready. Okay. I mean, we don't know when he's coming back. Like, really, we have no idea. I mean, time is irrelevant, but it's probably going to be a year because she's pretty awesome, and they really want to make the house as awesome as she is, because he loves her so much. So you have to be ready. I mean, okay, so do you know what I mean by being ready? Say no if you don't, because this is really serious. Okay, she has to have oil all the time. That lamp can never go out. And it will probably happen at night, usually around midnight, okay? So, like, y'all can't sleep. I mean, you're going to have to take shifts. I mean, because he could just be coming, and do you know, like, he actually... You'll hear something first. I mean, you'll hear this like, doo, 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 doo. I'm coming, the bridegroom cometh. And you know, so you're going to have to be, like, you can't just, there's no makeup involved here. Okay? Like, you're just going to be dressed and ready to go. Can you do that? Right on. Okay, can you do that? Cool. All right, good. Okay, oil, dress, ready. Okay, cool. Okay, oh, I forgot one really important thing. When he comes... he's going to pick you up. Yeah. They have this really cool chariot, and he's going to put you in it, and he's going to carry you. Okay? So are you afraid of heights, or are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so awesome. Okay. Everybody give him a hand. Okay. Yeah, you can sit down. Okay. Oh, I forgot. No, that's okay, it's okay, it's okay. No, that's okay, it's okay. Hey, are you good at milking goats? Milking goats and, like, you know, horses and sewing and cooking, and you're good at all that? Okay, right on, because they really need that at his house. Okay, so he's handing out. So what you just witnessed is, like, the most simplistic, mini, tiny version of what would really go down. Okay, so, and hopefully if you've been in this meeting for very long, you saw a lot of shadows types of what actually is going to happen. Woohoo! So cool. Okay, so I want to start off too. I love the Jews. I love Gentiles. This is not, I can't stress enough that I don't want you to focus on the fact that it's Judaism or it's Gentile or Catholicism or anything. This is about God's word. Amen? Amen. What's written? What was written for us? What was written in the past for this time, okay? And it's God's holy word. And it's about redeeming the time because the time is short, people. Your mother. Okay. So let's start off by reading Ephesians 5:16. I have how much time do I have? 11:30? Man. Okay, that's fine. So Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy creator in the days of the youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Isaiah 46:10-11. I love this one. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also. I like fill in the blanks. Can you tell? Okay. Because then I remember it too. Okay, so selecting a bride. The bridegroom chooses. The father of the bridegroom chooses. Right? Who chose me? Who chose me? For many are called, but few are. He says this more than once. Jesus always initiates the what? The love. The love. It's a love story. This whole book, love story, man. Love story. I have the best children's Bible. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. And I love how the author, yes, they have great illustrations, you're right. But it's all knit together in a love story. Every single detail is a love story. I love it. It's all about this, guys. I don't know what you're doing or thinking about tomorrow already, but if I lost your attention, but come back to me. It's about the bride. It's about her, and it's awesome. Okay, so the first thing that happens is they have to have, they go to the wife. Look at that word, mohar. Mohar. It's a price. It's a purchase price for the wife, the wedding money. What price was paid for you? Jesus. Who paid the price for you? What did he do? He died on the cross for you, didn't he? Right? Do I have to accept it? Do I have to accept it? No, I don't. I truly don't have to. Did she have to drink the wine? No, so it's a choice. We have freedom of choice, right? But what if I do? So good if you do. I'm just kidding. What did he pray in Gethsemane? Let this cup pass from me. Now, I brought that out in the Seder, too. Because there's, man, these cups of wine, I'm telling you, you could spend your entire existence and life on earth talking about the cups of wine that Jesus referred to. Because that represents something big, huge. Now, a lot of people look at it and say, oh, she's a slave. You know, he bought her. He bought her, like it's some derogatory. But let me tell you something about her. You know what's going to happen when she says yes? She adds to that family. She adds to that husband. She adds to that lineage. She's so favored. She's so favored. Think about that. Let's meditate on that. There's so much in this. It's so deep. And I want to bring out this too. The other village, nobody else is involved, people. This wasn't like they all sat together, you know, down at the pub and I think I'm going to have John ask so-and-so. It was totally between the father and her and his son. To the point that in those days, at the end of it, and I'll bring that out, when he comes, because there's two parts to this wedding. The Jews combine it all in one now, but there's two distinct parts in this ancient Jewish wedding. Two. Right? What happened after she said, okay, where did he go? He went away. He went away. Part one. I just showed you part one. Part two hasn't come yet. Okay? So she adds to him. She is so favored, and she is chosen. And nobody knows that but the groom and the father. To the point that when it actually, the second part comes, and that veil is taken off, the whole village goes, ooh! What? Miriam? Wow. So think about that. So cool. Okay. So moving forward. The mohar. Purchase price for the wedding and the money. Okay. I'll read Ephesians 1:14. No. 1 Peter 1:18, 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. He's referring to the very first wedding, right? Rebecca and Isaac. What did he bring her? What did his servant bring her? Right? He brought her gifts. Ooh, he brought her gifts. Right? To the point that I guarantee you the father was like, well, do I get some too? I mean, what are you giving me? You know, like, such good gifts. Right? And she said what? I will go. Yeah, let's do this thing. Jump on that camel. Right? Okay. So many examples of the Morhar. So read through those scriptures too. You know, the parables Jesus told. Why did he tell the parable about the goodly pearl and the merchant? What's he talking about? He gave everything he had. Didn't even hesitate. For what? For that. Right? Okay, so another part, the betrothal. The two main parts, the erusin and the nesuin. Okay? The erusin is what I showed you. I showed you over here, okay? That is the first part. It's called the betrothal. Okay? Erusin literally means in Hebrew the first part. Okay? And where did he go? Did he go to some strange land? Did he, like, go down, you know, was like, I'm going to take a boat to China. I'm going to go get a Russian bride. Just kidding. Where did he go? He went to his own people. He went to his own people, right? Which is pretty awesome. Because are you saved? Are you part of the body of Christ? Amen, amen, amen. Okay. I have to go back to my verses because I totally lost my train of thought and I don't have a lot of time. Okay. So during that time, the betrothal was a covenant. It was legally binding and it is final. Okay? So did you ask Jesus in your heart? What contract do we have? What's in your hand? You have a really awesome contract, not even joking. Takes care of everything you eat, everything you, or you need to sleep. Do you remember the disciples asked Jesus about that? And part of me is like laughing, because they were like a little bride. They were like, they were really mature. They're like, what are we going to eat? Like, what about our stuff? Seriously, Jesus. And what did he say? Take no thought for that, right? I see that sparrow. He's got a tree. He's got food. I got you. Right? Right? So during that betrothal process, there is a cup called the Kedushin. It is literally the cup of sanctification or holiness. It means to be set apart. Kind of stems from the verb kadosh, which means holy. Okay? The contract that she saw, that she had to look at, that thing that they witnessed, is called a ketubah. Say ketubah. In most modern Jewish day homes, you'll walk in their room or their living room or sometimes in their bedroom and they'll have that document. They'll have a ketubah and it's signed by the rabbi and it's signed by the bride and the groom. And it provides for everything, even in the event of a divorce. Because she's so favored. It's all about her. His name's on it. Has nothing. I mean, besides the fact that he's marrying her, it is all about what she gets. Even if he leaves her. Crazy cool. I love it. Matthew 6:28-30. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Do you want to marry him? There's a betrothal. Not according to the covenant that I have made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Who broke it? Who broke it? Who broke that covenant? Say Israel. Israel. Although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their, say it, inward parts. And write it in their hearts. and will be their God, and they shall be my people. The ketubah was offered first to Israel, but she rejected it. She rejected it, right? We know that. We know how the story goes, and I love it because I'm adopted. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much more also is he the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises, to know him intimately like a husband and a wife. Okay, but there's a big thing here. It's called our consent. Say my consent. What does consent mean? I have to agree. I have to give permission. Although the father arranges who the son will marry, ultimately the bride has to consent or it will not take place. In the story of Isaac and Rebekah in Genesis, he asked her, will you go with this man? She said, I will go, saying, I do. Right? Now, the father and son go to the bride's house with the ketubah. There's a glass of wine or a cup of sanctification. She has to drink from that cup in acceptance. It is her choice. I can't say that enough. Because, boys and girls, you're in a world that, oh man, you have so many choices, my head explodes. Makes me crazy, truly, right? This is the one choice I want you to take. I want you to run for it. I want you to go. Just like that analogy I gave you about that race. See bride on my calf. I'm running, people. You'll never forget that. Do it. Do it. Do it. Okay. Katan. Katan. The bridegroom is called the Katan. It literally means in Hebrew, one who enters into covenant. Engagement or betrothal, but it has a deeper meaning. It means to engage for matrimony. And I think I did that wrong, actually. It's found 20 times. I said 11. Please scratch that out. It's found 20 times in the Bible, and when I was looking at that, I love that. Because 20 is mentioned a lot of different places. It's mentioned Genesis, is mentioned all over. And I love, this is where the Lord took me with it, that oh, it's 11. I am right. I'm sorry. It's 11 times in the Bible. Opposite a 10. It comes right after 10. So it's like 10 is responsible. 10 is great. 10 is law-abiding. And 11 is like rebel. I think that's why I put rebel. Because that word katan is found 11 times. My bridegroom. My mom is falling asleep. Just kidding. The cup. I'm just kidding, Mommy. The cup of the covenant. The first cup at the time of the ketubah, and it seals the marriage covenant. Look at Luke 22:20. Jesus said, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. He was telling them that the new covenant would be sealed by him with his blood for you. Because he wanted to what? Marry you. He wanted to be that bridegroom, which is awesome, right? Song of Solomon 1:4, draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I think she was talking about that betrothal, that cup of sanctification that he brought her, like, marry me, marry me. Okay, so I'm fast forwarding. We talked about the bride price. We talked about a betrothal, right? Talked about a ketubah. Say ketubah. Okay. I love when Jesse talks about writing letters to Polly. I can absolutely relate. When I met my husband, he's from Scotland. I don't know if any of you talk to him or can understand him. It's pretty fun. Get him mad. It's even funnier. He talks really well. And this is before cell phones, before email. What? We used to fax each other. That was awesome. Right? But we would write letters. We would write letters, and I love the analogy of that, love letters, because this is a love letter, the whole thing. And I had the opportunity to witness to my boss, Shelley. And she tries, you know, every Jew you talk to, they have this inner guilt of trying to be a good Jew. There's all these levels of being a good Jew. Did you keep the Torah? Do you keep the commandments? Did you not keep the commandments? And I literally was able to share with her what I was talking about and how beautiful it was. And she got to tell me about her ketubah and her day of her wedding. And I said, oh, Shelly, you're missing the whole point. Because she said, I should know. And she's feeling bad. And I was like, you're missing the whole thing. It's a love story, people. Like, I know you're in high school. And I know school's starting. But come on, I know you get giddy when you think about, like, ooh, I wonder if she'll be there. I think I saw him. Did you see him at his locker? I totally saw him. I don't know if he saw me. Right? Isn't that the best feeling? The anticipation of what is coming, but it hasn't come yet. It's my favorite. It's better than when I actually am with him sometimes. Like, I'm like, I get to go back home and I'm going to see him. And it's like the anticipation. Like, where you're at right now with Jesus, people, because he's coming back, and that anticipation and that love and that overwhelming Holy Ghost Spirit power that you feel when you're down at this altar. Woo! Is there anything better, really? Come on. Come on, I'm losing you. Should we do jumping jacks? Okay. So it's so cool because it is a love letter. Our covenant is a love letter to us, to you, to Eric, to Cody, to Katie. Personal. It's so personal, right? It's all about, it's my name on there. As Jesse said the other day, I'm it. I'm it. I'm it. That ketubah doesn't have anyone else's name on it. It has my name on it. My name on it. Well, you can come too if you want to follow me. Okay. Right? But just as the ketubah was an inalienable right of the bride, the New Testament, our ketubah, contains promises for us from our soon-coming bridegroom. So many people look at it as a book of do's and don'ts, do's and don'ts. It's a love letter. It is not, I mean, yes, it tells me how to live. Yes, it gives me correction. And yes, it speaks to me on levels that nobody else can. But it is a love letter. It is a love letter. Tell me you don't want to open the letter or the... Okay, let me come at you your way. Tell me you don't want to grab your phone and connect to the Wi-Fi in 5 seconds when you get back home to check your snaps. Come on, people. Because you know someone is going to snap you and you want to see their wee face. Come on, raise your hand if I'm lying. I know I'm right. Because you love them. You're excited to see them. You want to see them, right? Okay. So fast forward. There is a new ketubah. New ketubah. You have to consent. Will you go? I have to read this to you because this is so awesome. Back in the day, you know, the Jews loved to talk. They loved to argue. They loved to study. They really loved to argue. Not even joking. Not in a mean way. They truly want to know the truth. They truly want to get to the bottom of a matter. And there's nothing like it. I encourage you to, like, jump in that sometime and just kind of smile because you're thinking, he loves me. What are you talking about? You know, when Abraham went to his own people, these Jews are talking, and they're like, why did they go there? Why did he go to Mesopotamia? And you know, Abraham, I hope Jesus is just going to make this work. He asked him to swear by a commandment of his circumcision, right? To grab his thigh. Read the word of God, okay? He asked him to grab under his thigh, okay? And these Jews are talking, these rabbis are talking, and he's like, it says in verse 24, too, but please put your hand under my thigh. Isn't that a vulgar, you know, these rabbis are talking, isn't that vulgar? Don't swear by the sukkah. He's like, he explains that he didn't want to take a wife for his son from among the daughters of Canaan because Canaanites practiced adultery as well as adultery. But in Mesopotamia, they only sinned by idolatry. And according to them, it is much easier or more difficult to fight the addiction than carnal appetites. It's possible to uproot false opinions, but it's hard to uproot carnal appetites. So he asked his servant to swear by circumcision to remind him what made the family of Abraham unique. They were circumcised. They were set apart. I don't know if you see that like I see that, but I see that as there's a whole body of Christ, but I'm set apart. And I'm right here. Right here, right? So cool. And we know how that story ended, and it was pretty awesome, right? So I'm going back to my notes. I'm going to try and wrap this up. There's so many similarities between the ancient Jewish wedding and what Jesus is doing for us. The cup of the covenant. The gifts for the bride. What kind of gifts do we have? What gifts have we been talking about the whole time we've been here? Say it out loud. The Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? What's one of the things? I mean, he does so many things, but what's, like, for you, what does he do? What did he do for you this week, Noah? Did he fill you up? Did he remind you who you were? Yeah. Does he bring those things to our remembrance? Does he talk about the bridegroom to you? Because he does to me. And I might end with this one gift because it's been so, there's so many gifts. But I love the fact in the ancient Jewish wedding, you know, when they sent the servant and it wasn't customary. You have to know this. Typically the bridegroom and the dad would go and give the gifts. So think about that alone, because we know in the very first wedding who went to get her. The servant. What did he have to have? He had to have gifts. And it wasn't about the gift giver. She didn't look at those gifts and go, I love this gold. It's so pretty. It's my favorite. What did it make her think of every time she put on those earrings? Who? Her bridegroom. The one she loved. Maybe when she was on the camel and I was thinking, I like pretty things, people. Right? I love them. I love jewelry. I do. I like clothes. I think it's super fun. I love this. My favorite. Some days I'm at work, I'm having a really bad day. Or maybe we had a really crazy morning. Argue. And then I go, he's mine. He's not going anywhere. He loves me. He chose me. The gift, the Holy Ghost, it's not the Holy Ghost. We get so consumed, being filled, being filled, being filled. People, that's a gateway to knowing your bridegroom. Don't get obsessed about, you know, how long I speak in tongues, how much I speak. It is all about the bridegroom. It is all about the bridegroom. I learned something really cool while I was studying about this. Say safa. Safa. It means your lip. Say lashon. It means your tongue. What do we call when you speak the Holy Ghost? Speaking in?
Tongues.
Lashon means language. Language, your tongue. You're speaking in a language. Don't you love that? Just little bits, little bits. You're speaking in a language. We receive gifts from God, and he receives gifts from us. When we praise him, it says he inhabits the... He loves it. Oh, man, he loves it. I was praying with little Caden to get filled last night, and he was so full, so full. Just, you've been there. He's like hot. His body's hot. He's sweating. He didn't care. He's like, I'm doing this. And he's just up in that room. He's just with Jesus, and he's just speaking, speaking, speaking. And I just said to him, you tell him all of it. You tell him how much you love him in that language, because our language just doesn't suffice. It just doesn't cut it, right? And we get so full, okay? Let's go to mikvah. Say mikvah. Okay. Mikvah is a washing. Ancient Jewish brides, they literally would have to strip, go to a very special pool. It means waters, rushing waters. Now think about this, Tice. While I'm talking and I'm telling you the history, you think about what you know as Bible students, okay? She would have to go, and she'd have some handmaidens with her. She'd have to strip down, and she'd have to get in this pool of water. They still do it today. Shelly went to a wedding in Israel. And nobody, people, if you're, you can't be unclean. I'll just say that. You can't be around her if you're unclean, any kind of uncleanliness. If you're sick, if you're a girl, like, and you're not clean, you can't be around her. And she has to bathe, and she has to wash in those waters. What are we talking about when we talk about waters here? Our church is called Living Waters Tabernacle. What are we talking about? Yeah. And she bathes in it, and she gets clean, and it cleanses her. It cleanses her. It purifies her, so she's ready to what? Get married. Get married. We don't keep the law, but that is such an amazing symbol of that, right? And even Jesus, when he was on earth, right? We know the story. Here's crazy John the Baptist. Woo, I love him. I read that. If you've never read that for yourself, go and read when he is baptizing people. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees come, and he's like, you viper. He literally uses the word viper. I love that. But then he sees Jesus. And Jesus is like, wash me. He's like, whoa, 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 Lord, I'm supposed to be following you. You're not, this is so backwards, right? Because we're so ignorant. We're so human. Huh? Do you do that with Jesus sometimes? You're like, no, Lord, but did he be obedient? He was obedient to the Lord, right? And what happened? Come on, you don't know this story. You're in so much trouble. I'm going to talk to your Sunday school teacher. John the Baptist washed him. He was baptized. Did he have a mikvah? Our Lord, my Lord. My Lord was cleansed in the word. His word, he's God. People, like, come on, wrap your brain. Okay, I know, my head's exploding too. Okay. But he's standing there, and the Apostle Paul saw the Lamb. He says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John was a friend of who? The bridegroom. Wow. I love that. So they go through the mikvah. Are you washed in the beloved? Are you washed? I love that song. Are you washed? Come on. In the blood. Right? We know it. Yeah, you get washed. Feels so good, right? When they go to the mikvah, they come out, they're clean, okay? And they're waiting. And then they're waiting. She's waiting. Remember, we go back to our story. She's waiting. She's waiting. But there's a part two. Say part two.
Part two.
And that second part of the wedding, the niacin, he has to come back for her, right? Because he went away. He went away to his father's house. He said, I go to my father's house. There are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't tell you that. Right? What'd you do? You went over here. Come here. We need to see it again. Get your butt up. Get your booty up. He came over here, and he's getting it all ready. Right? I really want you to see this, because that's what the Lord's doing. He's in heaven right now, and he is waiting. He is like, act like you're really excited, Jonathan. Just like, oh, my gosh, can I go? Father, and every day he's like, Dad, is it time, right? And guess what? And then I'm the dad, and I'm like, all right, son, I think it's cool, you can go. So he's like, yes! But what does he do? He gets his friend, get up, and they light a torch. There's so much light, people. And this guy gets up, and he grabs his shofar, and he starts blowing it. It's midnight. Everybody's asleep. Pretend you're asleep. Yeah, so loud. And then they rush the stage. They come back. They come over here. And you're ready, right? Dude, did you get your oil? Your lamps are all set. You're good. You're all ready. Get up. You're so happy. I know this is awkward, right? Okay, sit down. Okay. You got the visual. I'll spare you. Okay. So, right? She's ready. It's midnight. Then we're going to meet him in the air. We're going to meet him in the air. At the hour you think he comes like a thief in the... He could not spell it out any more clear for you. And you know what the coolest part is? Even the ancient Jewish people, there are so many Messianic Jews. And in doing this, and I'll make this really brief. I was like, Lord, just help me. I want it to be real. I want you to really see it. Really, truly see it. And I found this whole study from a Messianic Jew. It's called Jewish Jewels. That's what her ministry is called, Jewish Jewels. And she's got some things wrong. You know, I had to rightly divide the word of truth. But she believes that there's an out resurrection. She sees that as a Jew from her Torah and from her Old Testament, that they are set apart, that they will meet him in the air. I love that. So I'm like, thank you, Jesus. This is such an awesome resource. And then I'm like, oh, there's just something missing. So I go to YouTube, and I'm like, I literally typed in ancient Jewish wedding customs or something. And this guy comes on, and he's like, and he's kind of goofy, like really goofy. He's like, and he has this thing, which I didn't even use. And he's like writing the thing. He's like, but I just want to point out that I found a lot of this from the Jewish Jewels resource. I'm like, oh, my gosh. YouTube's enormous. Come on, that was totally God. He totally hooked me up on that one. Right? The consecrated bride. Say kala. Kahla. Yeah, get the ch in there. Set apart. Consecrated. Separated. Unto who? Her bridegroom. Kala in Hebrew. That means bride. Chala, kala. Right? Song of Solomon's in 4:2 refers to the bride's state. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. It literally means secluded or enclosed one. She belonged to him. He purchased her. And she's supposed to have eyes for none other. I learned something new this week. Did you know that doves have no peripheral vision? In the world, like, I love biology. I kind of geek out on podcasts and stuff. And I love them. And I was like, oh, God, you're so good. Because that dove, guess what? She's not checking. She's flying. She's not looking here. She's not looking here. She's looking here. Right here. She physically can't look sideways. Poor thing. So, no, it's a good thing, right? You want to know something else? They mate for life. And I think to myself, dove's eyes, what do dove's eyes symbolize? Faithfulness, singleness, singleness of vision. They're symbolic of the Holy Ghost, right? The Bible uses them in the Word of God as the Holy Ghost. In the case of Messiah's bride, the bridegroom longs to see his reflection in what? In your eyes? In her eyes, in those dove's eyes. Tell me something, when you're down here praying at the altar and you get up and you maybe you went down there and just kind of picking your, you know, heels up, but then when you get up and you, so it's happened to me so many times in my entire life when I'm praying and I'm speaking in the Holy Spirit and I'm just worshiping and worshiping, and the minute I get up and I see somebody else and they've been worshiping the Holy Ghost, tell me that you see that love in their eyes. Irma and I did last night. I look in her eyes and I see him. I see my bridegroom in her. How cool is that? Right? We're sewing it together. I think about that bride in ancient Israel and I think, you know, she had to wait for a year, sometimes longer. She truly didn't know when he was coming back. He gave her all the gifts. Sometimes it was land. Sometimes it was food, goats, milk, you know, whatever her family needed. And I think, was she ever tempted? You know, did any other men come and say, hey, you know, I know he offered you those 5 goats, but I think, did she ever wander, you know, in the marketplace? Like, you know, Joe, he was really nice. I'm getting married. And I think, no, you know, I know why? They used to put a veil on her. At that betrothal, he put a veil on her. So if she went out in public, she was covered. And that meant to everybody else, she was taken. They didn't even look at her. It wasn't even an option. She was covered. The veil also speaks, it's the word chuppah. If you've ever seen a Jewish wedding, the temple that they get married under is called a chuppah. Say chuppah. You spell a lot of different ways, but it literally means protection, covering. Are you covered? Are you protected? Do you have that veil on? And I love that veil. You want to know why I love that veil? Because that verse where it says, he will make known to all that I have loved thee. Honey, they can't see you right now because you have a veil on. You are covered. But on that day, it's coming off. And I remember in my beginning of my story, and I was like, oh, that's Miriam. Right? I love thinking about that. It's my favorite part. He will make known to all I have loved you, Paige. And I've loved you, Cheyenne. Right? It's so personal. I'm going to end with this one thing. This was the coolest. And if I can get the clip of it, I will show you. There was a certain tradition, well, there was 3, that happened in ancient Israel during a Jewish wedding that happens no more. And it only happened up until that time period, up until the temple was destroyed. And after that, they stopped doing it. And there's 3 things, but the one thing that just was like burning off the page to me. When the bridegroom would come to his future bride, he would bring her a crown. And it was wrought gold. It was hammered gold of Jerusalem. And he would give it to her. It was hers. Nobody else's. And it was to be used when they got married. Okay? His dad saw him give it to her. There were witnesses. It was literally called Jerusalem of Gold or Bridal Crown. And I think about the Apostle Paul. You know, when Jewish people get married, the bride is a queen. She's literally referred to as a queen. The man is referred to as a king. And when they come together, the Jewish people believe that it forms an altar in heaven, that they become an altar because they become one. And when the Apostle Paul says, you know, hold that fast which thou hast, that no one take thy... My whole life I thought, yeah, because, you know, it's a king, it's representative, holy, but I never saw it like that, like the bride. You are chosen, kala. You are set apart, kala. Now you just have to be ready. Because he's coming. What he said he will do, he will do. I love saying that to people who just look at me like I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I'm like, that's awesome. I'm not going to argue with you because I believe the word of God. That's all I'm speaking is the word of God. It's not Tammy. Right? It's not Jonathan. It's God's word. And I got news for you. He does what he says. I don't. I really wish I did. My husband wishes I did what I said a lot of times. But he does. And he is coming. And you need, what do you guys got to have for her? Lots of oil. Buckets of oil. Buckets. Because it could be a year, it could be 2 years. You know when Jesus performed that first wedding, and I'm sorry, I will let you go. There was water and water everywhere, right? They had so much water. Why did they have so much water? This is really awesome. One of the rabbis pointed this out, and I just laughed because he has no idea why I like was so giddy about it. It was for the mikvah. It was for the washing of that bride. That's why they had so much water on hand. That's what they say. We'll never know till we get to heaven, and I have so many questions for Jesus that won't even come on the list, but I love that. It was so important even in that day for that bride to be clean and washed and for her to have the oil. So they would borrow it from the neighbor's house. It had to be, that candle had to be lit. She had to be ready. She had to be ready. Are you ready? You're going back into that world. Are you ready? Say yes.
Yes.
Yeah, by God's grace. By God's grace. Okay? Get my number. Find me on Snapchat. No, I'm just kidding. This has been great. Stand up. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you today, Lord. We just come boldly before your throne of grace, Lord Jesus. We can't even express with human words how grateful we are for the truth, for your word, for your never-ending love for us individually. Lord, I just ask you to keep these kids, Lord. Keep them focused on you. Help them to want to have those dove's eyes, Lord. They don't have peripheral vision. They have tunnel vision. And they have one goal in mind, Lord Jesus, to win you as bridegroom. Lord Jesus, I just ask you to make this real. Take all the words that I've said. Help them keep them in their hearts. Lord Jesus, I just ask you to bless them. They're blessed with all spiritual blessings. I know that. But Lord, just give them that extra oomph they need to get back into this ugly world, Lord. Just keep them. Keep your hand on them. We know that your promises are yea and amen. We know that you never fail us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Make it real to them, for the time is short, Lord. And I know that you promised you would give us everything we need, because you are faithful. faithful, faithful, faithful. We just love you so much. We love you so, so much. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.